The Lord has one desire above all others, and that is that his salvation be proclaimed around the world. I'd like to ask for you to turn with me to the greatest story about missions in the Old Testament. Do you know where that is? I think it's the book of Jonah. Turn with me to the book of Jonah, please. One of the greatest mission stories in all the Word of God is the story of Jonah the prophet. When you think of Jonah, the first thought that comes into your mind is always what? A man getting swallowed by a whale, right? There's so much more to this incredible mission story, though. You see, Jonah had been called by the Lord to be his missionary to bring a special message to the most evil city of his day and the largest city in the world at that time, called Nineveh. God had told him the first couple of verses in Jonah, "Arise and go. Arise and go for me." Nineveh was the ultimate enemy of Jonah's nation. So Jonah didn't want to go there. Jonah thought in his heart, the Lord will just have to get somebody else to take this message because I don't want to go. I hate those people. They've been our enemies forever. I don't want them to be saved. So Jonah decided to head in the totally opposite direction to a place called Tarshish. It says in verse number 3 of chapter 1, he arose to flee, fleeing from the presence of God. How could a prophet think he could flee from the presence of God? He was trying to run away from God's call and God's commission. Instead of standing and going, Jonah was laying down and sleeping in the hold of a ship, trying to hide from God. But when God wants you to do a work for him, he will not let you go to do whatever you want. He has a plan to be done. So God sent an incredible storm that threatened the total destruction of the whole ship on which Jonah was sailing. Eventually, Jonah was thrown into the sea by the sailors of the ship. When he had sunk to the bottom of the sea, you know the rest of the story, the whale swallowed him whole. But in the belly of the whale, Jonah came to his senses after 3 days and three nights in that dark and discomfortable place. And he cried out in Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, in an incredible prayer. Jonah had learned an amazing lesson there in the whale's belly that we all must learn. When it comes to world missions, this phrase is the most important phrase, the most important battle cry that we could ever give. Turn with me to Jonah chapter 2, and we're going to look at just one verse. Verse number 9, Jonah has prayed to the Lord and has poured out his heart. Verse number 9, he says this, "But I will sacrifice unto you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed." And then these five beautiful words, "Salvation is of the Lord." Jonah's plea for salvation from the belly of that great fish becomes our battle cry for world missions. It is a declaration of God's power, God's grace, and God's mercy to this world. Say that phrase with me. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Let's look together at these five words of our world missions battle cry. The first word is salvation. Salvation is of the Lord because he designed it all. He designed it all. Salvation is a beautiful word, isn't it? In fact, you could look at all the words of the scripture, and one of the most beautiful words you'd ever find is the word salvation. It shows us the wonderful fact that although we were in a hopeless condition, we've been saved at the very last moment, restored to safety, and given a relationship with God. I was hopeless, but now I'm saved. It's a word that was specially designed by God. He's the author of eternal salvation. He's the designer of the whole salvation plan. He's the source from which all salvation comes. The Hebrew word for salvation here in Jonah 2 verse 9 is used in an intensive form. That means mighty salvation or overpowering salvation. The word speaks of deliverance. It speaks of preservation. It speaks of recovery, of rescue, of redemption, of pardon, of restoration, and of release. All salvation in all its forms comes from our Lord. He alone is the Savior. He alone is the deliverer, the redeemer, the rescuer, the recoverer, the pardoner, the releaser, because he designed it all. The prophet Hosea said in Hosea 13, verse 4, "Yet I am the Lord thy God, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me." No one else can save but our God. When Jonah says salvation is of the Lord, he is praising and thanking the Lord for one blessed thing. God personally saved him. By God's specially designed eternal salvation, we are delivered from the penalty of sin. We're given a whole new life, forgiveness of sin, and complete reconciliation with God. Freely given total forgiveness. It's the amazing gift of God. "For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God," it says in Ephesians 2, verse 8. Just saying that word, salvation, 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 should cause a joyful shout to rise up in our hearts as we think of what our Lord has done for us. Jack P. Schofield wrote an old hymn back in 1911 that goes like this: "Saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime, life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved." That's how joy rises in our heart. We have to tell the Lord, "Thank you. We praise your name for our salvation." God designed the only way for us to be saved. By this, he rescued us from our sin and eternal punishment in hell. Through salvation, God gave us a perfect forgiveness with the promise of a perfect future in a perfect physical body, in perfect surroundings, under a perfect Savior forever. Salvation. He offers the wonderful blessing of being saved from the bondage of sin forever. Saved from the guilt of sin forever. Saved from the pain of sin forever. And saved from the separation of sin forever. Now, don't you agree with me? Isn't this a beautiful word, the word salvation? Isn't it an incredible word? Salvation is of the Lord. What a word, salvation. Our Lord's the designer of eternal salvation, so you and I must go and tell others about Christ, because salvation is only possible through our Lord. That's why we give. That's why we pray. That's why we go. That's what World Missions is all about. Shout that battle cry with me. Salvation is of the Lord. The second word is. Salvation is of the Lord. The word is a linking verb. It's used to connect a subject to its identity. It's like when you say one thing is another thing. The Bible is God's word. It shows something is the same as something else or someone else. It's saying salvation is Lord. They are one with each other. Without the Lord, there would be no salvation. He is salvation. In Jonah's case, God wanted to spare Nineveh. He knew that they would repent if they heard the warning. And that's why it was so important that Jonah be given a second chance there in the belly of the whale to get his heart right and go and tell them God's warning. Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says this: "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." Whose message is it? Well, it says quite plainly, doesn't it? It's the word of the Lord. It comes from a loving, holy heart of Jehovah God. Salvation only is because God planned it all. Salvation is God's core issue when it comes to reaching the world for Christ. Salvation is God's all in his plan and his alone. No one else had enough wisdom or enough grace or enough love to design such a gracious plan for the saving of the souls of this world. You know, God never consulted with anybody about his plan. It is all his idea. It's all because of him. What if God had consulted? Perhaps he would have consulted his holy angels. And he would have said something like this: here's the problem, my dear angels. The humans that I'm going to create are going to rebel against my leadership. I'll have no choice but to judge them for their sins. But I want to show them mercy. I want to show them love. I want to show them that they have a chance to repent and turn to me and to follow me. So I must find a way to show them mercy and yet judge their sins justly. My only choice is for me to give my only son, whom I love with all my heart, as a perfect sacrifice for their sins. Can you imagine how the holy angels would have responded? Maybe they would have said something like this: oh, precious Lord, no, 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 not your beloved son. We love him so much. He's so holy and so loving and so gracious and so wise and so powerful. There must be some other way. You see, holy angels, no matter how wise and holy they are, could never have come up with this plan. Such an amazing plan was only possible in the wisdom of God. And we sinful humans could never have thought up such a plan either. It's all God's plan. And yet God, knowing full well the consequences, still lovingly created Adam, even though he knew the pain that such a creation would bring to him. And the Father did not allow his only son to be, and the Father did allow his only son to become the only sacrifice for the sins of a world of rebellious humans. What a plan it is. What an amazing plan it is. What amazing salvation it is. It could never have been of human origin. It is all the plan of God, his amazing, loving, gracious plan. So when people question you and say, it's just kind of a little bit silly for you to give your whole life to such a far-fetched plan as that, the answer is, it isn't my plan. It's God's plan. It's God's plan. Salvation is only in existence because of our Lord. He cares deeply about the salvation of this world. He cares deeply about four babies that are born every second in our world. He cares deeply about two people who die every second in our world. In May of 1980, Sherry and I first started out as missionaries. There were 4.5 billion people in the world. And we as 24-year-olds felt an overwhelming desire to get there as soon as possible. We had to get there because we had to reach souls while there was still time. 46 years later, there are 8.3 billion people in our world today. Almost doubled. The need is even greater today. We need more who will come in and stand with us to reach this world for Christ. In 24 years, the world population will be 10 billion. Sherry and I would love to still be reaching them, but we'll be 94 years old by 2050. And we still might be toddling along, but we're definitely going to need some help. Would you be willing to come to some corner of this world? Do you care with the heart of God for the peoples of this world? Let's shout out that battle cry again. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. That's what missions is all about. Why do we go? Why do we give? Why do we pray? Because salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. He designed it. He planned it. He owns it. The word of is used to connect words and show when a thing belongs to someone. This shirt that I'm wearing is of Rick because I own it. I bought it. I paid for it. Salvation is of the Lord. He owns it. He paid for it. In Jonah's case, the Lord had told him to go and warn Nineveh and to leave the results with him. It was the Lord's initiative from the beginning, not Jonah's. The Lord started it all because salvation belongs to him. But there in the whale's belly, Jonah remembered the verse that he had been taught from boyhood. Psalm chapter 3 and verse number 8. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Our Lord always starts the salvation process because it is his possession. He owns it. Salvation is the Lord's and the Lord's alone. Our Lord knew on this occasion that if the city of Nineveh had been given a warning, they would repent. Our Lord Jesus Christ made this very clear when he said to the unbelieving people of his day in Matthew chapter 12, verse 41, "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here." Later in chapter 4 of the book of Jonah, when Jonah argued with God about the justice of him sparing such a wicked city like Nineveh, our Lord graciously responded in verse number 11 of chapter 4. "And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand?" Now, whether that's 120,000 babies or that's 600,000 people in the entire city, I don't know. But the point is, God says, "Don't you know my heart of love, Jonah? Haven't you known me well enough that my heart is full of mercy?" You see, salvation is not our property. Our Lord paid the price to purchase our salvation. So salvation belongs to the Lord from beginning to end. He paid for it. Who suffered for the sins of this world? Our Lord did it. So to whom does salvation belong? It belongs to him. Who died on the cross to bring us salvation? Our Lord did. So salvation belongs to our Lord. Who rose from the dead conquering death? Our Lord did it. So salvation belongs to him. Who's sitting on the throne of heaven right now? Our Lord's sitting there. So to whom does salvation belong? Salvation belongs to him. So if sometimes you feel overwhelmed by the people in your life that need to be saved and how you're ever going to reach them, when you feel like giving up, just remember something. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. We give, we go, we pray, and he does the work through us to reach this world for Christ. We do all that we can to faithfully present a clear gospel message and remove any cultural barriers that we can. But it's the Lord who brings salvation to their hearts. Our Lord does his work in the souls of this world, even the hearts of those it seems impossible to reach. And since it's the Lord's work, belongs to him, it means there's nobody beyond salvation. Anyone can be saved. Our job is to keep giving out the message, giving out the gospel to them. We just obey and keep telling the gospel message. Salvation is all the power of God. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Our Lord's the owner of eternal salvation. So you and I must go and tell others about Christ because salvation is only possible through our Lord. It belongs to him. And that's what missions is all about, my friends. That's why you sent Rick and Sherry to go to Scotland for you. That's why you give so graciously that we might be there to share that gospel. We go, we give, we pray because salvation is of the Lord and the world must hear. Shout out that battle cry with me again. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. That's the fourth word. He keeps it. He keeps it. The word "the" by description is called a definite article. It limits, it narrows, or it specifies, or sets apart a specific noun. With that in mind, understand that the Lord, our Lord, is the Lord. Not one of many lords, but the one true Lord. There's none like him. There's none like him. He's the author of salvation, the planner of salvation, the owner of salvation, and the keeper of salvation. 1 Peter 1 verse 5, it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You know, basically, our Lord just simply wouldn't give up on Jonah. He kept causing challenging times in his life to get him back on the right path so he could use him to warn Nineveh about the coming judgment. Our Lord specifically prepared the sufferings that came in Jonah's life to challenge him to obey. Turn to Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Jonah 1, verse 17. The verse says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish. He prepared that great fish. Why? God specifically planned that very fish to save his rebellious prophet from drowning so he could tell the message. But Jonah wasn't happy. Jonah wasn't happy when God spared Nineveh. So God had to keep working on his life. Turn to Jonah chapter 4 and verse number 6. First, God prepared a whale or a great fish. And then in verse number 6, it says, and the Lord God prepared a gourd or a big leafy weed. In other words, his servant had gone over above the city of Nineveh and was watching over the city. He was watching for the Lord to keep his promise to him that he's going to destroy Nineveh. But the people repented. So Jonah in bitterness went up to that mountainside and was just waiting angrily. But God looked down at his prophet and says, well, I'm gonna shade him for a moment. I'm gonna give him an opportunity to repent. So he brings this big gourd vine that comes up overnight to come over Jonah to comfort that angry prophet so he'd have time to heal and his anger would leave him and he'd become amazed at God's incredible mercy. But Jonah wouldn't repent. So in verse number 7, God prepared a worm. First he prepared a whale, then a weed, and now a worm. God specifically planned that worm to make bitter Jonah see his prideful heart, that he was loving things more than needy people. And sometimes we can do that as well. We love our things instead of the people around this world that are in need. But still, Jonah stewed. Eternal souls made no mind to him. They were Ninevites. They were Ninevites. Then look at verse number 8. God prepared a vehement east wind. Whales and weeds and worms and now winds. Why? God sent that desert wind to challenge Jonah to repent and get back on the path to obedience. He's never finished with us. You know, I personally believe that Jonah repented. Why do I believe that? Because we've got a book in the Bible named Jonah. Who wrote that book? Well, according to conservative scholars, Jonah wrote it. Didn't paint himself in a very nice light, did he? He didn't seem like the kind of prophet that God would use. Somewhere along the line, Jonah repented and turned to God and wrote down this story. Through all of God's careful planning, Jonah's life, he was challenging Jonah. Wake up, Jonah. You're not doing what's right and you know it. Get back on my path. Understand my heart. Salvation is of me. I wanted Nineveh to repent. I want to save. I want to save. God refused to give up on Jonah. He kept after him. He's the keeper a salvation. You know, back when I was a little boy, when someone gave me a gift, I would ask them, is this mine for keeps? Is this mine for keeps? When it comes to salvation, salvation mirrors God's own nature. He is eternal, so salvation is eternal as well. It is ours for keeps. Ours for keeps. Who's the only one that can keep salvation going? It's the Lord. Who's the only one that can sustain salvation? It's the Lord. Salvation is God's special trust to those who believe in Him. When you put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, He accepts you as His very own, and He says, you are mine for keeps. You are mine eternally. For by grace are you saved, once again, through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, finished. Finished. That's what our world must hear. God wants to save them for keeps. That's missions, my friends. That's missions. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. He'll keep on saving. He'll keep on challenging us, and He'll keep on changing us. Oh, the blessing of eternal salvation. We still need God's grace every day, don't we? He keeps on working on us, making us more like Christ. Now, there's going to be times when people to whom you're witnessing will just not listen. They refuse to believe, and after a while you can get discouraged and feel like quitting, and you begin to think, what's the point? Is it really worth it? They're not listening to me. Why should I keep on telling them? You got to remember something. Our job is to tell them. God's job is to draw sinners to Christ with the gospel. We arise and go, and God does the rest through His Spirit. So we can speak about Christ with confidence and know that God is always going to work. His promises keep on saving people. They saved people when we went out in 1980. They save people today, and they will save people in the future. He promises to keep on growing people to maturity of Christ because He is the keeper of salvation. Our Lord is the keeper of eternal salvation, so you and I must go and tell others about Christ because salvation is only of the Lord. You see, my friends, what missions is all about is that salvation is of the Lord. That's why we go. That's why we give. That's why we pray. Say it with me again. Salvation is of the Lord. The final word is Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of Jehovah, the great I Am. Most precious name for God, the beginning and the end of salvation. In the case of Jonah, he gives the wonderful characteristics of Jehovah God. He uses it in a negative sense, but we see it in a positive sense. Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. You know, the time's going to come when we're going to reach heaven. We've put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We will reach heaven one day. And that same Lord who's been so gracious and merciful and patient and kind to us throughout our lives, He's going to welcome us home saved. 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 His work totally finished. And when we do reach heaven perfectly, totally, completely saved, it will all be because our Lord has completed His salvation in us. Think of it. Jesus is preparing a place for us where there will be no more sin, no more sickness, no more death, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain, no more fear, no more stress, no more Satan, no more worry, no more worry, no more war. And no more old age, praise the Lord. No more hatred or guilt or jealousy. All gone. All gone in that heavenly home. That's salvation. Isn't it? What a beautiful word. And you'll be able to shout throughout all of eternity, Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. We'll be like those 24 elders in Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. The 24 elders fell down before him and sat on the throne and worshiped him. Before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. You see, one day we're going to look into the face of Jesus. Every reward, every crown, every blessing which we've received for faithful service, we're just going to throw them at His feet. Because He did it all. He did it all. Our Lord has saved us forever. And my friends, that's the beautiful message that we get to take to this world. That's the beautiful message we get to take to this world. You get to take it to your neighbors. You get to go yourself. You get to pray for the missionaries around this world that go for you. You get to give so that we can go for you. Salvation is of the Lord. He's the designer. He's the planner. He's the owner. He's the keeper. He's the finisher. He loves to save, and He wants the world to know it, and He lets you and me be a part of this plan. And one day, souls from all over the world will come up to you in heaven and say, thank you for giving to missions. Thank you for giving to missions. For because you did, I am here. Why? Because salvation is of the Lord. The Lord is the finisher of eternal salvation, and so you and I must go and tell others about Christ, because salvation from sin is only possible through Him. And that's what missions is all about. That's why we go. That's why we give. And that's why we pray. Say it one more time. Salvation is of the Lord. The Lord. Is that your battle cry? It cannot be until first you bow personally at His feet and say, Lord, save me. I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Please save me. If you've never prayed a prayer of salvation, why not right now? Ask the Lord to save you right now in your heart. Ask Him to save you. Tell Him, I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself. I've been trying to do what's right, and I always fail. But I trust You right now. Will you do that today? Bow your heads for just a moment. If you've never trusted in Christ, do it now. Trust Him now, because salvation is of the Lord. Trust Him now. Tell Him, yes, I'm a sinner, but I trust in You. You are the way, the truth, and the life. I believe in You. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. I believe in my heart that God has raised Him from the dead. Trust Him now. If you've done that right now, join us. Open your eyes. Join us now. It's time to get in the fight. It's time to get in the fight. Why? Because salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. It reminds me of a challenging old war hymn written back in 1869 by a Baptist hymn writer by the name of William F. Sherwin. It goes like this. This should be our battle cry. Sound the battle cry. See the foe is nigh, raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on. Stand firm, everyone. Rest your cause upon His holy word. Strong to meet the foe. Marching on we go, while our cause we know must prevail. Shield and banner bright, gleaming in the night, battling for the right we ne'er can fail. O thou God of all, hear us when we call. Help us one and all by thy grace. When the battle's done and the victory's won, may we wear the crown before thy face. Rouse them, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain o'er the mighty throng. What's that banner bright waving over us? What's that banner bright? You know what it says? Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. What's the word that we pass along the ranks as we look to our fellow soldiers to the right and to the left? We tell them, salvation is of the Lord. Let's go. Let's go. Charge, soldiers. Charge. Shout out our battle cry. Say it with me. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Let's keep reaching this world together, can we? Because salvation is of the Lord. Thank you, Grace Baptist, for being a church that gave so that we could go for you. Together we've striven to go under that banner and tell the people of Scotland that salvation comes from our Lord. And together we'll continue doing so. Because truly, yes, salvation is of the Lord. Let's pray together. We are so thankful, Lord, for the message of your word. We're thankful that you, in your great grace and your great love, you offer to us your Son for our eternal salvation. I pray, dear Lord, that we'd always see that this work that we do together to reach this world for Christ through world missions is vital. And if we do not keep holding up each other's arms, if we don't keep marching faithfully under that banner, this world has no hope. Right. Lord, there's 8.3 billion people that need to be reached. May we reach them while there's still time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Would you maintain your heads bowed and your eyes closed for a moment of quiet reflection? Three applications just to encourage you as you think through the sermon this morning. One, do you believe that salvation is of the Lord for you? Have you repented of your sins and put your faith in Christ? Unbeliever, if you have not done that, as our brother admonished you this morning, you can be saved today. Call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. If you did pray that prayer of salvation this morning, would you come and talk to me after the service? I would love to meet with you. Number two, do you believe that salvation is of the Lord for your neighbors, for your children, your parents, your family, your friends, your coworkers? Christian, do you live your life in such a way that you believe God can save those around you and that he can use you to show them his salvation? Who's on your heart? Who are you praying for? Who are you asking the Lord to save? Who are you sharing the gospel with? Number three, do you believe that salvation is of the Lord for the whole world? How's that reflected in your prayer life for missionaries and your giving to missions and perhaps even for you yourself to surrender your life to be a proclaimer of the gospel around the world? So as we take this moment of quiet reflection, would you just speak to the Lord concerning the sermon you've heard today? Salvation belongs to the Lord. Let's pray.